Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are talking today about believers in Jesus and how God wants us to know that even though this life can be difficult, He wants us to know with certainty that we will not be disappointed when we are finally with Him forever. Also, too, in today's sermon, sometimes people think that salvation is a difficult thing. Well, let's begin by thinking about something big and difficult, and then we're going to switch over to the ease of being saved through Jesus. First of all, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but there's a company called Space Perspective, and the company is in business. They've raised a lot of money. They've done a test flight already, and they're getting ready to do regular flights to space starting in 2024. So they are sold out through 2024. You could buy a ticket for 2025. But anyway, what they do is they have this capsule and they have a giant balloon and they go up and up and up until they're out of our atmosphere and they're in space. So it takes about 2 hours to get into space, and then you're in space for about 2 hours, and then you float back down, drop in the ocean, and they pick you up in a boat. So you can buy a ticket on the capsule. They have a pilot, and they have up to 8 people, and tickets are $125,000. So really, that's pretty inexpensive in comparison to these others who are going up, and they're going up in a rocket, and they're orbiting the Earth. You can do that too, but I think that cost, what, in the millions? I didn't check it. But anyway, though, it's what I'm trying to say is it's a costly and difficult thing to get a little glimpse of space. Now, some people might think, wait a minute, if that is difficult and costly, what about going all the way to heaven? Boy, that must be really difficult. That must be really expensive, but yet it is not. Now, God wants us to know for certain that nobody, no matter who they are, no matter how hard they try, they cannot earn their way into heaven. But God wants us to know that through Jesus, the way is really so very simple. Now, our text today is in Romans chapter 10. We're picking up in verse 8. But just before that, though, it tells us, and it's kind of getting to this ease of salvation, but it basically tells us so, that nobody needs to ascend into heaven in order to bring Christ down. And the text also tells us no one needs to descend into hell in order to raise him from the dead. So it's not difficult like that. That's what the Bible is telling us. And then we get into the closeness and the ease of salvation as we pick up now in verse 8. The Bible says, the word is near you. What word are we talking about? We're talking about the word of the gospel. We're talking about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. So when we think about the Apostle Paul, what was true about him? He believed in Jesus. He had that God-given faith, and he proclaimed Jesus to others. And then here is Paul writing to the Romans. And what does he want them to know by what he is saying here? He wants them to know that God has given them belief in their hearts, belief to trust in Jesus, and they have this confession on their lips, and they have this confession in what they are doing. And Paul wants them to know that that simply is the reality of their salvation. So they have the belief in the heart, and then it comes out in confession, in word and deed. You know, some people go through life and they think that somehow they have salvation and they don't. So maybe they're not aware of belief in the heart and then confession on the outside. But Paul wants them to know, he wants us to know, it's that simple. We shouldn't complicate it. We shouldn't say, well, I need this and I need this and I need this other whole list of things. He wants us to know that when we have that faith and that showing in what we say and do, we have Jesus Christ, we have the gift of heaven, and we have so many other wonderful things. I want to share with you now a quote from Dr. Kretzmann. I thought it was a good one. So it's this idea of this awareness that we should have within ourselves. So he wrote, Christ in his full salvation is always present with us. It's not like we have God present with us when we come to church, and then he's not present with us, and back and forth, back and forth. Dr. Kretzmann is saying he's always present with us in the gospel message proclaimed. So even today, he's present with us now. He's also present with us day by day as we are reading the Holy Scriptures on our own. Very important to do that. When we read the Bible, it's not just opening the Bible and reading it. When we open it and read it, what is going on? God is talking to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's enabling us to understand what it means and showing us how it applies to our lives and even giving us the power to do that. So he is present with us in the scripture texts that we read. And then it is so critical that we memorize some key passages in the Bible. Now, in today's age, we might say, well, I have my phone with me all the time. I can look up any Bible verse I want to right on my phone. But for those of you who have memorized, you are aware that there's a very unique and powerful thing about taking a key passage, going over and over it until you get it in your mind and write it on your heart, and then it becomes a part of who you are. Remember that prayer we pray sometimes in regard to the Bible, where it says that we hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God. So the Word of God becomes a part of who we are. You know, like when we leave here and go down to Bible class, you might have a piece of cheese, and that cheese will become part of who you physically are. Well, that's okay, I guess. But when we take in the Word of God, that becomes part of who we are spiritually, and it's a powerful thing within us. So Dr. Kretzmann goes on in his quote, and he says, and nothing more is needed than faith in this Word of God, assent or agreement to its content. We simply know that whatever is in here, we know it is true, we know it is the Word of God. We're not going to be like some and say the Bible contains the Word of God. No, we say the Bible is the Word of God. We know it is true from the first to the very last verse. And then the Bible is filled with promises. And with every promise, we have complete confidence in it. Why is that? Because it is a promise made by God. God is a holy God. He cannot lie. God has almighty power. So no matter what he promises, he is easily able to do it. So we have complete confidence in all of that. Wow, to be able to go through life with all those blessings. I mean, think about people who don't know Jesus and think about all they're missing out on because they don't know what we know. They don't have what we have. Let's live happy, joyful, excited Christian lives, and may others see that. May they say, wow, you are a happy, joyful person. What's going on there? Why are you that way? And then we can tell them more about our Lord Jesus Christ. In this next part here, maybe this is the most important part of the sermon in a sense, because we have this connection between believing and confessing. Picking up in verse 9, we have a couple of very familiar verses here. Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So what if I said something like this to you? If I said, come to church each week, and then I said, gather here with us faithfully to receive God's gifts through word and sacrament. Really, I've said the same thing twice. What is Paul doing? He's saying the same thing twice. He's connecting the belief in the heart with the confession. So one time he connects it like this, the second time he connects it like this. But he wants us to see in both ways. In other words, it's so important, he's saying it twice to make sure that we get it. Talking for a moment about this idea of inside versus outside. On the inside, of course, that is where God has given us this gift of faith. Remember what the Bible says? The Bible says that spiritually we are dead, spiritually we are blind, spiritually we are enemies of God. So the Bible makes all three very clear. So there's nothing we can do to go to God, but the wonderful thing is he comes to us and he makes us spiritually alive. He gives us spiritual sight. He turns us from enemies into friends, even into his holy children. So God has to work all those changes, and he does, and he has. So when God works that on the inside, then things become different on the outside. Now we speak differently. Now we live differently. Another quote here from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, "Faith and confession cannot be separated. Faith must find its expression in the confession of the mouth." Paul is speaking of a true and living faith, not a hypocritical substitute. So when faith is real, like somebody might say they have faith, but if that's all they're doing is saying it, that could very well be a hypocritical faith. But when the faith is real, though, that's going to show in real and significant ways. When I say that, I think back to a time in my life where for many years I went to church and I thought I had faith, I really did, but then finally God opened my eyes to see that I did not, and then he gave me that true faith in Christ, and it just changed my life completely. But then as I thought back, though, I thought, I've been living my life as a hypocrite for years, and I didn't even know it. So somehow, I don't know if somebody gave them to me or how it worked out, but I had these couple little pins. I should have brought them with me, but I think the one said, like, "Smile, Jesus loves you," and they were just kind of odd little metal pins you could pin on your shirt or something. But I felt compelled, though, that when God worked this change within me, I felt like I need to make what happened on the inside known on the outside. So I had a uniform I wore for work, and every day I would pin those pins onto my shirt pocket. I had like a flap on my shirt pocket, and I would pin those on there, and I wore them every day for about 6 months. And that was kind of a way for me to say outwardly that God has worked a change within me. Now, sometimes I go to a customer and they'd like look at the pins and I think they were probably like mocking me or laughing at me. Other people would give a positive response. But it was like one little way of saying there's something different here, and now that's showing on the outside. I want to share with you something that's kind of a difficult thing to think about here, but you might remember back in 2015 with that college there in Oregon. And there was a man who was against organized religion, and he was especially against Christians. So he went there with guns, and he went there to find Christians and to kill them. So he was in a particular classroom, and he said, "Anyone here who is a Christian, I want you to stand up." And maybe they didn't even know what was going to happen at the time. Maybe they had some idea, though. But the news article says that once they were standing up, the man said to them, "Good, because you're a Christian, you are going to see God in just about 1 second." And then he immediately put them all to death. It was a very difficult thing. And we might even think to ourselves, "Dear God, if I was in that situation, could I stand up? Could I confess my Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me? Could I stand up in that situation?" God wants us to know that when we have the gift of faith in the heart, maybe not right now we say, "Oh, I couldn't stand up." But when the time comes, though, God will give us that ability to confess with our mouth and with our life that Jesus is our Lord. Tough things, but in that kind of a situation, certainly we can see that they had the faith in their heart because they stood up and they ended up laying down their lives for the sake of Christ. A very powerful testimony. That same year in 2015, it was in Kenya, and there were some terrorists that came over from Somalia, which borders Kenya, and they came to a college in Kenya, and the thing I just described to you, these gunmen did the same thing, I think it was to 160 people. They were finding about 700 students. They were asking each of them, "Are you a Christian?" And when they said yes, they put them to death. We live in that kind of a world. But God wants us to know, though, that we should never back down no matter what, no matter what might happen. It's always better to confess Christ. When I say that, it reminds me of the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Maybe some of you have read that. That's not exactly the title, but I think you know what I mean if you've read the book. But there were so many over the centuries that have been put to death for the sake of Christ. But it's interesting in the book, though, there were a couple people that when they were arrested and brought before the authorities, now for all people, they had the opportunity to recant, to be able to say, "Nope, I really don't believe in that," and they would be let go. A couple stories in the book that people actually did recant and they were let go, and they were so overwhelmed with grief and with guilt for having denied their Savior that what they did after a week or two is they went back to the authorities, they turned themselves in, and they said, "I don't care what you do to me, I cannot deny, you know, the one who lived for me and died for me." And then they were put to death in terrible ways. But God wants us to know, though, that these are real things, that when we have that faith in the heart, God will enable us to confess with the mouth and also with our actions. But there are other people, though, that confess with the mouth, but then they're not right in their hearts. Jesus said this about some Pharisees who did not have the faith in their heart. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." See, for you and I, when we look at someone, we can't tell whether they are in Christ or not. Even with what they say, we're not quite sure. But Jesus, he knows every heart. He wants us to be in the Word. He wants us to have, well, like it says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when we are in the Word, the Spirit will work through the Word. He will help us understand that, yes, indeed, our sins are forgiven. We are children of God. And then that will embolden us then to live for Christ. These are such important things to tie together. And then when we think about our words and our deeds, think about this passage here from Jesus. It's right near the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So there were people at that time who were saying Jesus is Lord. They were calling him that. And also, too, if you go right beyond that, Jesus is working up to even the day that he returns and how people are going to come up to him and say, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus is going to send them to eternal punishment. And he's going to do that because even though they called him Lord, they did not have the faith in their hearts and they were trying to earn a place in heaven. God wants us to know such things will not work. What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that we trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. So even the will of the Father is not something we do. When we are aware of our utter helplessness, we are open to God. What does God do? God fills that void with faith in the heart. For people who are not to that point of utter helplessness, then they're kind of like this. They're like closed off to receiving the things of God. But when God works through his word and shows them that utter helplessness, then they will be open. And then again, God will quickly fill that void, and God will give them that faith in the heart, which will very quickly show itself on the outside in word and deed. Going to the next part of the text here, we come to the topic of happiness. And we're in verse 11. The scripture says, whoever believes in him, in Jesus, will not be disappointed. What does it mean to be disappointed? That means to be shamed. That means to be embarrassed. So what happens in this life? When we identify with Christ, people try to shame us. People try to embarrass us. People try to say, oh, this book isn't true. Jesus was just a man. There is no eternity coming in heaven. You know, they want to discourage us from being in Christ. What does God want us to know, though? He wants us to be certain that what God has said is true, and that for certain, we will not be disappointed. We will not be put to shame. We will be completely happy forever and ever. Now, many of you have a financial consultant. And when you talk to your financial consultant, he might tell you, here's my advice. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Is that a good idea? Probably a good idea. Put a little bit of money in stocks. Put some in bonds. Maybe put some in CDs. So there are various ways to invest, and those are sound investment principles. But what about when it comes to Jesus? This is what I say, put all your eggs in the Jesus basket. Now, there are plenty of people in life that aren't quite sure about Jesus, so they kind of have some of their eggs in the Jesus basket, but they also have some over here and some over here. And they think that somehow that's a good thing. They have all the bases covered. But what are they going to find out someday? They're going to find out that that is not saving faith, and they're going to be disappointed forever and ever. God is saying, go all in for my son. He is my son. He lived for you. He died for you. He did it all. He declared his work to be finished. We can put all our eggs in the Jesus basket and know for certain that we are okay, and it's going to be a wonderful eternity. And then at the end here, we come to the topic of the same, concluding our text with verses 12 and 13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So in the text, it talked about Jew and Greek. So are you Jew? Maybe not. Are you Greek? Probably not. So where do we fit in? Well, you have to understand when we come to the Bible only has two categories, either you're Jew or you're Greek. So we fit into those categories. That's everyone in the entire world. But what is Paul saying here? He is saying that whether you are in the Jew category or whether you're in the Greek category, whoever calls, whether you're Jew or Greek, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What is that call? That call is talking about a prayer. And when is that prayer heard? If we're rejecting God on one hand and calling upon him on the other hand for something that we selfishly want, that's not kind of the kind of prayer that God wants us to pray. But when we see that utter helplessness and we call upon God, boy, does God love to hear that kind of a prayer. And what he does is he gives us faith in the heart. And whether we are Jew or Gentile, Jew or Greek, God will give us that gift, and it will make us different and wonderful forever and ever. So what am I talking about with the fill in the blanks here? Well, all are sinners, all are in need of Jesus, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So there is no distinction between people. Finally, at the end here, we have some takeaways. So a truth, everyone needs Jesus. We should be fully aware of that, no matter who people are, how good or bad, they all need Jesus. Something relevant, God shows people their helplessness. See, God has to do both parts. God shows them their helplessness and enables them to call upon Jesus as their Savior. And then God has to continue. Not only does he do the helpless part, he gives the faith and the heart, but what does God have to continue to do? He has to continue then to keep us in Christ. So from the beginning through the middle and to the end, God is doing all of it. So whenever we think about going to heaven, we take absolutely zero credit. It is all what God has done for us. So we give him all the glory. We completely rejoice in who he is, what he has done. We do that now, and we look forward to doing that in his presence forever and ever. Finally, at the end here, some inspiration. Get much joy by pointing others to Jesus. We live in a world today where many do not have that faith in the heart. God wants us to know that there is a special thing he has for everyone who takes that step of faith and with their mouth would confess the truth of the Bible to someone who does not yet know Jesus. When we do that, it's hard to even explain it, but I'm sure that many of you, maybe all of you, have experienced it, where when we say the word of God to someone else, there is this great joy that God brings upon us. And understand, the joy is there whether people receive what we are saying or whether people reject what we are saying. I think about going to visit an inactive member one time, and I went to the door with another one of our members on a Saturday morning, and we were just there trying to care about him, and he opened the door wide open, he saw who we were, and then he slammed the door like as hard as he could. And it was like, oh my goodness, didn't expect that one. But still though, when he did that, we still had joy, because we went there trying to care about him spiritually, so we still had joy even though the door was slammed in our faces. Sometimes that happens, but God is saying, don't be deterred by that, because he wants us to keep sharing that truth. God will keep giving us the joy, and according to God's good and gracious will, he will bring more and more into his kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for saving faith in our hearts. You have given us that gift by the Spirit, and now we have that faith in your Son as our Savior. We pray that in word and deed, our confession would be so obvious to everyone we see, and when they hear us, when they see what we are doing, may we do so in ways that are filled with joy. May they even want what we have, and may you move us to know the truth better and to share it with everyone who is interested. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.